Welcome, Paseo. We are back with another episode of the Paseo podcast. And today we're going to be recapping the scripture practice. We just finished 4 weeks of material from Practicing the Way. And we thought it would be a good idea just to have a final conversation where we share some of our takeaways. And also at the end, we'll look ahead to what's coming next as we move towards the end of 2025. But let's start there, Shelton. I'd love to ask, what was your favorite part of the scripture practice? Mm. And maybe what did you find most challenging?
Just on a personal level, I love the reminder to read scripture for not just information, but for formation. Mm. And we'll talk more about that in a bit. I have a passage that I've been thinking about a lot in that, but I just love that. And one of my biggest experiences through this whole practice was a passage I actually quoted this past Sunday for, and I was reading in 2 Corinthians 1. I just felt led to read that. Read the whole chapter, didn't really get anything from it. Like, I'm like, God, why am I? And I just felt the Holy Spirit to remind me to slow down. You know, you and I talked about how hurry is the enemy. And so it's like, go back and reread that again. And so I slowed down and read, and I didn't get but a couple of verses in until I really experienced what I felt like the Holy Spirit wanted me to meditate on, that God is the Father of compassion. And it for me, these past couple of weeks, that has been so meaningful. As we're trying to show compassion to my niece and some other things in our life, it was so meaningful. And then it just flowed into the passage. I wasn't planning necessarily. I don't think it was for sermon on Sunday where they had a lot of compassion stuff in it. I think it was for me personally. So anyway, that was a high mark. Not just to think about God's compassion, but then also to read it for formation, to say, make me compassionate like you're compassionate, yeah. Lord. Like, form me into I would be like that. So that was a high point for me throughout all of this. What about for you? What was a takeaway from you in this practice?
Well, I think a high point, I think, was just the reminder of how central Scripture is to our lives.
Yeah.
As God's people. I think it's easy sometimes for us to think of the Bible as a book, a religious book, an important book, but at the end of the day, a book. And Scripture is so much more than that. It's God's revelation. Mm. These are things that God has wanted to tell us, to make known to us about Himself. And I've been reminded in recent weeks, just with some conversations that I've had, that it's very easy for us to identify as Christians, but not really represent Christ very well. Mm-hmm. And I think Scripture is essential, mm-hmm. to close that gap between me calling myself a Christian and, like you mentioned, me being formed more and more to become like Christ, which is something that's happening on the inside first and foremost. You know, the way I think, what I care about, how I am compassionate or not towards others. And then, of course, it works itself out into the way I live. My lifestyle should be changed. So, yeah.
That's so good. I just, as you're talking, I was picturing, you know, Moses up on the mountainside getting the download from God, literally writing it down. Here is his revelation of himself. But in the absence of that, because he's gone so long, the people are on the ground.
Yeah.
And it's not that they were trying to worship a different God than Yahweh.
Right.
It's that they began to develop the golden calf because they just came up with their own picture of what they think Yahweh's like.
Yes.
And I think without the revealed revelation of God, even in the name of that same biblical God, if we're not reading Scripture and studying, we will be worshiping our own creations, which is idolatry. It's essentially our own golden calf. So to be a Christian, worshiping Jesus, but you are not studying Jesus in Scripture and letting Him form you, mm-hmm. getting that revelation, then you are worshiping what you assume Jesus to be like, which is the golden calf, right? So just an interesting thought of that's where we go, all of us, even with good intention.
Yes.
Like, the written word is central to actually following Jesus of Nazareth. You have to study His word.
It's almost more dangerous because if we're trying to represent and we're claiming the name of Christ, but we're not allowing the Scripture to reform us, it's kind of the worst of both worlds, because now you're saying that you live for God and you're trying to represent Him, but oftentimes we can be doing that in a way that actually doesn't point people towards God. I don't want to overstated. I think God is very gracious to us, no matter how long you've been following Him or how new you are to the Scriptures. God will be teaching us and guiding us, but it should be a desire on our part to see more of His revelation and be shaped by Him.
Absolutely.
I really liked the practicality of the different dimensions that we covered. So we talked about how we can read the Bible, how we need to meditate on it, how we can study it, and how we can memorize it, and how there are so many ways for us to allow Scripture to infiltrate our lives. And these were very practical means of getting into the Bible. I don't know if I shared this on the first episode, but there's a simple illustration that I heard years ago called the hand illustration. Mm-hmm. I'll share it again just in case folks didn't catch that first episode. But, you know, the four fingers are four ways that we can take in God's Word. And then the thumb represents how we hang on to it. So we can hear God's Word, we can read it, we can study it, we can memorize it, but we should meditate on all four of those. So as we go on Sunday and listen to you teach or someone else who's gifted in the Scriptures teach, we should be meditating on that. Then as we read, as we study, as we memorize. And so
I like that.
I really appreciated just the practicality that sometimes the Bible can be this mysterious, really thick book. How do I even get started? I thought that was something helpful from
this. It's so good. I had several conversations this week with people like, where do I start?
Yeah.
And there was one man in my growth group that were able to be a part of this round. And he said he just started in Luke. Mm-hmm. And he'd been around the church his whole life.
Yeah.
You know, but just the simple, he said, and I had never read this before in Luke. And just Luke 1, there's some revelations he was getting there. But I appreciated his simple humility to say, I'm just going to start reading. I've been a Christian, quote unquote. You know, I've been around this my whole life, but I'm just going to start reading. I appreciated that. And that's always one of my, I think you like to recommend to people to read Mark. Is that one of the first places you say that?
I do. Luke's great too.
Yeah.
Mark's just shorter. So especially if you're just getting started, you know, it's just a little bit easier to finish that book. But
and it's the action-packed one. Immediately Jesus went. Yeah. I like that. Well, what were some of the challenges that you found in the practice?
Well, you already touched on it. I think just the busyness of life, and I definitely saw that, I think, especially in the meditation week when we were especially focused on meditation. It was a good reminder how challenging that can be, for me at least, to slow down and to find space, create space, to not just be in God's Word, but to have the time to process it, to digest it. I personally found that challenging. I don't think I was surprised by it, that was the challenge, especially based on my personality and where I'm at in life. Mm-hmm. And I've had people who have helped me learn some of the other things like reading and studying and memorizing. So for me personally, those things weren't as new, but finding time or making time for God is not something that you figure out in the early days of your faith and then you don't struggle with it anymore.
Yeah, got that figured out. Yeah.
All of us have to find and make that a priority. So how about you?
Yeah, this is ironic. I don't struggle with finding time to meditate on God's Word. Like, I love that. And I don't struggle to find time to study because I do that every week for my job. Like, and I'm walking through with a group of young men right now, our pathway study, and so there's a lot of study in my life. Where the one that I struggle with, and I do a lot of memorization for sermon and for just my own life, that's not a problem. God has blessed me with memory. Where I struggle with is the reading, just reading to read, just to be in it, and being disciplined to have a plan to read through, apart from sermon reading, apart from... So that is for me, and I think it's a time issue. I think it's and not that I don't have the time. It's the priority of time, and that's where I always feel the Lord's invitation to swim deeper. is to make time just to read, and so that was a challenge for me. And so looking for ways to sit down away from a digital screen with my Bible open. And remembering just how refreshing that is and just how good that is. It's really good.
That's great. We talked about that in our growth group, the importance of, you know, using a physical Bible for your times of reading and study. It's, you know, the phones can really distract us. So that was a great lesson. you know, we wanted to share some personal stories, but as we take that out to the church as a family-wide group, and we think about the practice of Scripture, what are some of the hopes that you have for Paseo coming out of the Scripture practice that might continue on into the coming months and even next year?
I really think that studying Scripture is central. And as I was praying and thinking about this morning in our conversation, I was reminded of Romans 12, 1 and 2, which we know. Beautiful, just a couple of verses, but let me read it. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, Paul writing to the church in Rome, in view of God's mercy, so in view of Christ and what he's done for us, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. We use this back in our fasting practice. This was one of the main verses, offer your bodies. But I think about that in terms of what you're doing throughout your day. Mm-hmm. That worship is so much more than just singing on Sunday mornings, that it's our spiritual act of worship, mm-hmm. as you like to call discipleship, whole life devotion to the Lord. So here's my body today. What am I doing with my body? And this is, the second part is where I was really thinking about, do not conform to the pattern of this world. So as we come to Christ, we have already adopted a pattern of life.
Right.
And it is so easy, that's our shape already, right? But he says, be transformed. So this discipleship whole life, when I offer my body to Christ and I come to him to live for him, the goal is transformation, that I stop being the way that I was, and I become something else. And we'll talk about this in our next episode on baptism, but that giving of myself is central to what it means to be a Christ follower. It's not just say a quick prayer and I'm done, I'm covered. The whole goal is I need to die to myself and come alive to Christ, a new way to live. And here's how we do that, by the renewing of your mind. And you think, how is a mind renewed?
Right.
By the truth of Christ, by the truth of Scripture. And so you put all that together with this practice, and I keep coming back to this is central to the Christians anywhere, but since our family is Paseo, to become less like the world and more like Jesus. It's not just that we read for study and memorization. Those are important, that we not just good students. That's great. That's wonderful. We need to grow in that. But it's that we are being transformed by the word. And so we are offering ourselves in discipline regularly to be outside of Sunday morning. And I like that hand illustration, with Sunday morning, mm-hmm. to be meditating on it. And
right.
what you're reading to be meditating, what you're to constantly taking hold of Scripture and saying, Lord, reshape me, reshape me, reshape me. And there is no other way for a Christian to be shaped into the image of Christ than by mm-hmm. the Spirit of Christ using the truth of Christ to renew a mind. Mm-hmm. And that is a continual, by the renewing, the ongoing renewal is the verb tense there of your mind. It's a lifelong process of doing that. And so I think moving forward, and you and I are excited about this, as we look ahead to growth groups in the new year, one of the things we're really wrestling with is as a church-wide, having a Bible reading plan of some kind. And this is in the beginning stages of praying through and thinking through, but how do we make personal Bible study a central discipline, a central practice, to use this language, that our growth groups, that are as individuals, we are built on, that we're studying together. But
yeah, that's been one of the cool things I would say of this practice is doing it together. And so we've paired up, and it's not our whole group, but members within the group, as we're reading, as we're studying, we're reading the same passages.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah,
throughout the week. And then I mean, even if we're not seeing each other in person, texting, hey, this is what really stood out to me. And that's been really encouraging. And so it is something that we're looking to do going into 2026, which is crazy to even say 2026. But we want to be people of the book, and we want to be people who are being reshaped by what God has revealed to us through the Scriptures. We want to do that together, which is actually a great transition to talk about our next round of growth groups. We are going to have a few weeks between the finish of this round of growth groups and the start of our fourth and final round of growth groups here in 2026. And our next series is going to be on the practice of community. And I just want to read this. I was in 1 Thessalonians this morning, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. And Paul says this, he says, we cared for you believers in Thessalonica, and because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our own lives as well. And it just reminded me of what we've been doing, the practice of Scripture. So what God has revealed about himself, the Word of God, is something we want to share with one another, but also our own lives. And it's interesting the way Paul says that. He says, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, which is a pretty amazing thing to share, but he says our own lives. And these two things together, when we are in the Scriptures together and sharing life, I truly believe that's where the transformation happens. But we need both. If I'm just, if I go out into the woods and just read and study the Bible nonstop, that's not going to change me. What's going to change me is doing that with fellow believers and then trying to learn how to live it out together. So this next round is going to be on the practice of community, and we will start that the week of October 12th, and it will run through mid-November, kind of taking us up to Thanksgiving and the holiday season.
Good.
Just want folks to know what's coming here in the next month or so. Any final thoughts from you on this practice or what's happening in the church?
You know, one of my biggest takeaways from this that I love, and we'll end with this. I loved at the end of the week three video, the leader there, Comer, makes a challenge, just quoting what Jesus says, of talking to the Pharisees. You guys study Scripture because you think it will lead to salvation, but it actually points to me, and you're missing it. And I thought that was such a great challenge. To our whole point of this is not to be puffed up with knowledge, but that we would know Christ, that we would, this would be a spiritual practice where we are meeting with Christ and seeing that all of this is pointing to him. It's pointing to him. And so to pair this with our other practices of prayer, of go fast and meditate together. It's an awesome practice to do as you're fasting. Or I've had people say, what do I do when I'm fasting? Eat on Scripture, read Scripture, compare those two things together. Things like solitude or some of the other practices that we've had Sabbath rest into. It all points to Jesus and what am I doing in those practices. And I think Scripture is actually central to every one of the other practices we've studied. And it informs and it becomes the food that our souls are feeding on to meet with Christ. But meeting with Christ and becoming like Christ is our ultimate goal. So as we finish up here, as we finish this practice, I pray, church, it has been a wonderful reminder and renewal for me of the simple practice that we never grow beyond sitting under Scripture and letting it speak to us and meeting with Christ through it. So just praying for you as you, wherever you are in your journey, maybe you are a seasoned, disciplined reader of Scripture. Maybe this is so brand new, it's intimidating. There's always ways to grow through our understanding and formation of Scripture. Praying for you in that. Make those steps of continuing on, and may God bless you in that effort. We'll see you soon. Bye.